0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as attention begins to turn to the final set of pre-split fixtures. Tension will rise for the top three as they jostle for top spot heading in to the split. Motherwell boss Jens Bertolaskou says they've had ref talks about the penalty decision they didn't get against Falkirk last weekend. And at the bottom, Neil McCann says you get nothing with fear as Kilmarnock look to pull away from trouble they take on Dundee. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL. Yeah,
Sid, we'll have excitement, we'll have drama, we'll have twists and turns, and I've got the shamble for the Masters. No, but seriously, six games to go. I'm really looking forward to this. The top three, we still can't split them, as much as you look at Hearts sitting there on top, 3 points between them. Exciting. We've got great debates going on about the split, who favours who, whatever it has to be. And then you look down the bottom, who will finish in 11th place? That's drama. That's exciting as well. And all down the leagues as well. So brilliant football, brilliant stuff to talk about.
I'm glad he's gone in early and acknowledged it, because regular listeners to this show will know that my learned friend here, my namesake, how can I put this politely? His attention span's not great, right? Is that fair?
You're not
offended by that in any way?
Not at all, no.
And that's on a normal night. But when the Masters is on, and it's on that big telly, right, it really tests him. Every year, this show stresses me out, because I know I'm getting even less of his undivided attention.
He's injured, though. He's injured, because we've got a golf game coming up, and he's I think he's trying to chuck one.
The only injury he's got is straining his neck to try and look at that TV. Do you know focus on this job, yeah, between six and eight.
I'm totally focused on this, I've got to say, because as I said there in the intro, Gordon, the excitement at the top between the three teams.
It's hard to predict, isn't it? Exactly.
But the excitement at the bottom is just as good as well. If you're involved with Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Aberdeen, I think Dundee, as much points-wise, are dragged into it, but I think they'll have enough. But who is going to lift that title, that trophy, at the 16th?
It's very hard to predict. Nobody's showed any kind of consistent form, have they, really? I mean, obviously, I'm looking at it from a Celtic point of view. They got up to Tannadice. It was an awful performance. And you think it's running away. And then the results, kind of, Hearts obviously goes for Celtic at the weekend. And, you know, the game should maybe be out of sight up at Dens Park at half-time. They missed chances. And then Dundee are back at one each, and you're thinking 10 minutes to go, this isn't looking good at all. They pop up with a goal, and, you know, I've never really been a huge fan of the split, but this year it's certainly going to be, you know, with the three of them going for it.
Split's brilliant.
It's going to be unbelievable.
Split's absolutely brilliant. And you're even looking now, there's a race on for fourth as well.
Yeah.
Motherwell obviously getting closed down by Hibs, and great for them. And then you look at the split when...
Well, Motherwell will go to the league leaders.
Leaders, yeah.
And Hibs go to Aberdeen. Favourable fixture.
And you look at when the split comes, Gordon, nobody's got to like going to Falkirk. Like playing Hibs. Nobody's like going to play at Motherwell. It's not like the old days when the team in six would probably go into the split and lose their five games, but their achievement was a split. That ain't going to happen with Falkirk. They've been absolutely brilliant. They'll be a handful at the weekend, and there's some really interesting fixtures.
All your thoughts then ahead of the weekend, if you've changed your mind today on the title race, because maybe that's just the way it works. Maybe you're changing your mind daily, maybe something has caught your eye, you're looking forward to the fixtures, the final round of pre-split fixtures after a week of debate about the post-split fixtures. Get your thoughts in, please, on 0141 951 1025. As I alluded to in the headlines, some of the managers have started doing their pre-match media duties. Jens Bertolaskou speaking today, talking about discussions they've had about the penalty that they should have got against Falkirk last weekend. Neil McCann talking about playing with no fear for his Kilmarnock side, because everyone's focused on Aberdeen and the way that they are dropping, but Kilmarnock still need to do their bit and get themselves out of trouble. I'd like to hear from some of you Aberdeen fans, actually. I feel like we were due to speak this week, but we maybe got overtaken by a bit of madness about the fixture lists and so on. So how fearful are you? There's a few other things doing the rounds. don't know how breaking this news is, given that Steve Clarke kind of revealed it. Well, he did reveal it last week, but it's now official, if you like. Scotland's final World Cup warm-up will be against Bolivia at the Sports Illustrated Stadium in New Jersey, as it's officially called, apparently. So, in New Jersey, like we said, they were always going to play out there. Remember, it was talk about Peru, and then it was maybe Venezuela, and I think Peru probably got paid more to go and play Spain or something. I think that was the story behind it. But there we go. It is Bolivia in New Jersey as the final World Cup warm-up match. 01419511025. If that bothers you in any way, what was your World Cup 98 warm-up matches?
Well, remind me. Funny you should mention that.
Did you go to America?
I think I played in the same stadium there against Colombia.
So because the World Cup 98 went so well, they've decided to go back and try and repeat the same preparation.
We were in Washington, I remember it, intense heat. We had the blazer and flannels on. We played the US, and then we played Colombia in that stadium, I'm sure. New Jersey.
So that was a warm-up and then back to France.
Did you win? That's a good question.
Well, I'd seen you were there. I'd ask you.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think we might have drew both.
True.
It's a really bad. It doesn't bode well for his beat the pundit chances.
I can't remember. Just ask him ten questions about his career.
It's a long time ago.
Exactly. See if you went to like six World Cups or something, I'd get the point.
Yeah.
He played in one set of World Cup warm up matches.
I think there was a draw against Colombia. I don't know the US.
For goodness sake. 01419511025. I'll just Google it in a second, but I don't have the time right now. Get your calls in, please. Let the guys know what you're thinking as we move towards the weekend. And then, of course, tomorrow it really cranks up. We'll hear from Martin O'Neill and Danny Rule. We already heard from Derek McInnes yesterday. I remember it was breaking on the show last night. It was a bit later that Mark Leonard's red card that he picked up in the game against Livingston, that appeal was unsuccessful, so he will miss the game against Motherwell this weekend, and so on. If you're really, really desperate and you want to speak to Gordon Dalziel about the Masters, I'm sure he would oblige. I just don't think I'll allow that if we can possibly help. It might be quite quiet though. You know, it's been a relatively quiet couple of days.
Actually, see, just on that Hearts thing, I was coming back from Edinburgh yesterday. There was a bit of traffic on that M8.
Tell me about it. I think I was in it, by the way. What was that all about?
I don't know. I veered off at, let's say, Whitburn.
Yeah.
But before I did that, Alan Archibald, the Hearts coach, pulled up beside me.
Right.
So we obviously were together at Partick. Mm-hmm. To say he's not too happy about that 5:30 Monday night kickoff would be an understatement.
Did you get the windage down?
The windage were down. Well, the traffic came to a standstill. And I've spotted him, so I've shouted over and we exchanged a couple of...
This all makes sense, right?
And then he brought up that Monday 5:30
fixture. Because I was at Alan Archibald's place of work.
Right.
And when I left and put it in the sat-nav to get to Clyde Bank, I got a bit of a fright to make it here in time. Yeah, and I then avoided the M8 and went all the way around. And that wasn't any better.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was your traffic and travel update from yesterday.
From yesterday,
which doesn't really help anybody out. 01419511025 is the number that you need. Eyes off it. Seriously, I don't care about Rory McIlroy's birdie putt here. I can see you. I can see you wondering.
I'm just hoping nobody phones in.
He's got it.
Oh, has he? Good. I think this is 5 Live or something. Yeah. Honestly.
Need to whisper.
Any of those in the car, he's just went to 2 under.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we barely know what we're talking about when it comes to Scottish football. You're going to try and branch out.
I know what I'm talking about when it comes to golf.
Do you not want to get yourself over there at some point? Not on your bucket list.
Do you know something? I was actually thinking today that is probably up there on my bucket list, number one.
What do you mean probably?
Probably number one.
Do you remember a couple of years ago on the show?
I don't know if I could afford
them. One of my, because you've had a lot of faux pas over the years, but one of my favourite, because it was a wee innocent one, was that I think you thought bucket list just meant like to-do list. And you said to me that like going to the Transport Museum was on your bucket list, and I thought...
I've got quite a boring life, you need to aim a wee bit higher.
It's like think before, you know.
I've got a bit of boring life, but
no,
I think
you just thought it was like on your to do list.
That would certainly be that.
That would be a different
and going to a World
fish.
Cup final.
Final?
Yeah.
I don't believe you when you say that.
I know, I just made that up because it's a football show.
You don't even like going to football matches.
If I had a ticket for a World Cup final, it'd go on eBay.
You get a good price for the last one.
My word. Anyway, right, come on, please. Like, this is what you're doing. If you don't call, this is going to be more of this between now and 8 o'clock. So the onus is on you. 01419511025. 5. It's going to be a brilliant weekend, isn't it? I feel like already I'm looking forward to it. Thursday night, that's when you know your weekend's pretty much starting. Maybe the jammy folks that have taken school holidays off, or the teachers out there are off tomorrow anyway, and it is...
I think everyone's going to be. I'm looking at the fixture. Every weekend from now to the end, it's, I keep saying the intensity is just going to screw up week by week. And it's really who can handle the pressure. I don't think there's anybody there that you go, you know... I mean, back in Celtic teams of before, just go and win the 6 games, it's not as easy as that.
No, it's not going to happen. I don't think Hearts or Rangers, obviously they can't, but not going to go and win 6 games either. But you just look at it weekend by weekend, right? Yeah. We're now in a situation where if Hearts and Celtic had to win both home games, which you would fancy them, but I think Motherwell will start finding a little bit of that form again. And then Rangers go to Falkirk, which has got to be massively difficult.
Yeah.
Rangers could find themselves free going favourites to sit in third. It's that tight a league.
Yeah, let's bring in John, who's first through on the phone. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon, Daza and Simon. Nice to be on.
What are you thinking tonight, John?
I was talking to my friends that Celtic fans the other day, obviously, that Simon and forward, so is Daza. I think, which one do you think of this a bit? I know he's got injury problems, right, but to me, Iheanacho is the only really natural goal scorer we've got. So I think we've got to take the chance with him against St Mirren, just to make sure, I mean, obviously, hopefully, he can maybe last 60 minutes and get us a couple of goals to get ahead, then bring the other guys on, then try and wrap him Cop and Will for the next couple of games. And then another point about Wee Ralston, if the two full-backs, Arugo and Johnson, are not going to be back, I think young Donovan's been, I think he's a great young player, great prospect, but I think recently he's been making a few mistakes. So Tony Ralston's not everybody's cup of tea, but he's been there and done it, got the T-shirt, you know what I mean? Just wanted to be into the 2 points, guys.
Got on the strikers, they're the headlines getters for a reason. Every week we ask you around this time of the week, who should start up front for Celtic? Mm-hmm. And it changes and it varies, and then you end up back at where you started. Is I think most people will be on the Iheanacho wagon this week.
Yeah, I think so. And I know he started the game at Dundee United. Celtic didn't perform well as a team, really, on the day. The surface was poor. Same for both teams, you'll argue. But when you watch the chances that get missed in that first half, I think if they fall to him, he scores. And he showed it with the goal 10 minutes from the end. I think he's most experienced. He's got the best quality there. What's let him down this season is the stop-start fitness, you know, and he hasn't got a run of games because he's broke down at times and he's maybe no up to match speed, which people will say is crazy, but because it's been sporadic for him, I think he's struggled that way. But there is, for me, there's no doubt he's the best finisher there and probably the best suited to handle that pressure in the next 6 games.
Everybody knows, Gordon, it's a fitness thing. He's only started 4 times in the league for Celtic this season. He's been here pretty much all season. It was... You know, he's a free agent, wasn't he, at the end of the summer window. You were on the same page as John and Simon that you think he needs to be the one that gets given the go from the start?
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned, like most people, about his fitness situation. But I think you've just got to throw him in there, take the gamble. Whether they would look at him this weekend, and let's not be kidding, St Mirren are in good form. You know, they've been tweaked a little bit with the interim manager and they play some decent stuff, playing with a lot of confidence. But I would certainly be, he'd be my number one striker, not just because I think he's the best finisher. I think he's the best link-up player, if I'm honest with you. And it gives him the freedom to play Maeda off the flank. I thought in the first half at the weekend, he looked a bit sharper and brighter and back to... You know what we know he's all about, so that bit of form might just be coming. But certainly for me, yes, right now I think he's the best number 9 at the club.
I mean, John, I think he's only started that Dundee United game Simon spoke about. That is his only start since the injury in the League Cup final against St Mirren. But you think it's time to change that? You think it's time to try and give him a run of starts?
Yeah, I think so. It's obviously they've got 6 games, possibly 8. The semis in the cup, the final. But to me, they've got to take the chance. There's no use keeping them on the bench, then things don't go to plan, and then we're struggling for a nothing each draw or one each, etc. As Simon said, I know he's a great, as you say, he's a great link-up player too, not just a finisher. So I just think they've got to take the gamble. And if it know what I mean? If he gets injured, well, at least we've tried it, know what I mean? But it's just, I like Big Chanchara, but he's just, he misses some amount of sitters, know what I mean? His work rate's good, but to me, he's the best finisher at the club we've got now, and to me, they've just got to go with it. They've got to take the gamble with him, and hopefully the gamble pays off, and get him wrapped up in cotton wool for the semi-final, get a couple of goals up, and then, know what I mean, worry about them game by game. So I just think...
Is the truth, though, that, you know, the sort of the margins between these guys are all so fine, and then you start throwing a couple of injuries in.
Yeah.
Is it possible that this just continues? Well, let's say Ian Atchell does start this time. He's probably not likely to play the 90 minutes, by the way. Even, you know, a lot of strikers don't play 90 minutes, by the way. They just get rotated, but particularly him. But this week it's Chavancha's turn to come on, and then he scores a winner. And he's the one that scores late. And then next week we're back to the same conversation. Maybe he's the one then that needs to start the game. And you know, Maeda will play up front at some point before the end of the season as well.
That's the way this season has really went for Celtic in terms of the forward players. I mean, you're looking at their top goal scorer on 19's Negrin, who's midfielder. Almost unheard of, you know, with the front lines in recent times with Celtic, where they maybe had two front threes and all scoring goals. It's not been really the case. Yang's chipped in with his fair share.
Even though Negrin tried to take one off him at the weekend.
He did, yeah. He did try to steal it off him. But I think as well, with the four games on Celtic surface, on the pitch at Celtic Park, Daz makes the point there. He's a good link-up. He knows how to link up, and if you've got the runners like Maeda and Yang and a bit of pace round about him, I think it's a good way.
You need to play a when you talk about link up, does it need to be very specifically into his feet for you know?
Yeah, because he's not got to run away.
That's why I see the Dundee United game where the surf is rubbish. Mm-hmm. They never really turned United, but it's not really his game to go into channels. It's not.
So how does that differ then? This season's a hard one to compare because they've been all over the place in that department. But in the last few years, Celtic striker has been able to link up, but has also been able to go in
behind.
That's where they're at.
And then will
that's
he not? He, at the can he not do that?
Look, he's not the slowest I've ever seen, but he's not
going to be.
Yeah, no. He's not got to run away
he's
from centre half.
But if you get the ball in that final third into his feet, he's got the cleverness.
My big concern about him, I think we'll all agree, he's the best option. Everybody's fit, he's the best option. I'm just concerned with the run-in for Celtic and how important it is, especially where he lasts. So you look at the next two fixtures, they're both home, St Mirren and Falkirk. Will they use him for maybe 35 minutes, bring him on, just nurse it. Depends on how Martin O'Neill and the coaching staff sees fitness, right? Because there's massive games coming up. And with the massive games, you want your best players available. Mm. So they might not cheer him along. And I'm not being disrespectful here to St Mirren, because under Craig McLeish, they've been excellent. They've got Falkirk, who have been excellent, but it's at home. And you would really, if Celtic have any chance of winning the league, you would think they're fancy taking 6 points out of that.
Well, yeah. John's other point, you know, for all, again, the headline injuries are going to be the, it's always stacked at the top end of the pitch, the match winners, or someone who's a real stalwart like Carter Vickers or Alistair Johnson. But now beneath that, Aruko was his replacement. He's injured. Looks like Colby Donovan as well.
You
managed to get three right backs out injured at the one time.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a concern. I was speaking to somebody about it this morning, and Ralston's the obvious one to come in. Listen, I know Martin put Itati at right back, and I think Postecoglou did at one point. I think he actually popped up with two goals in a game. Is that an option at home? I don't know. I think Ralston's
a player. Look,
a good time for Ralston to try and get some game time.
Ralston's not everybody's cup of tea. He's played over 100 games for Celtic. Yeah. He's played in Europe. He's a Scottish internationalist. If you cannot put Ralston in at right back now, and you're thinking of putting a midfield player like Hatate in there, then you've got serious problems. Mm. Really have.
The pressure is on, though, because they've lost the other three. The other three are injured now, so you've got one recognised right back. Mm-hmm. It's not ideal.
Good point. Thank you, John, for opening us up tonight. 01419511025. It's the perfect time to call, and we'll get you on next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 01419511025. Let's bring in Zach, who's in Uddingston. How are you, Zach?
Good, you?
Yep, all good. Thank you for asking. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm just going to talk about the split fixtures for Rangers.
Go for it.
I feel as if the three away games, is it? Yeah. I feel as if that's a bit of a disadvantage for us, as obviously you've got Celtic, you've got the three home games, and then obviously Hearts and Celtic playing the last game of the season. Mm-hmm. The top two, which are Rangers and Hearts, and then you've got Celtic on third. I feel as if Hearts have got more televised, which could possibly put more pressure on them.
Listen, we'll bring everything into account at the moment.
Even the TV are going to.
Well, by the way, Hearts away games on TV have caused them a lot of issues recently.
Yeah.
But then, is it because they're on TV or is it because they're away? But you look at Livy, St Mirren, Kilmarnock, what's the other one? Rangers, but that's you know, a harder fixture perhaps. And who knows? Does being in the telly add more pressure?
Listen, if you've got trouble with the games on the telly, then you've got problems as a player. Listen, the games are difficult. Away ties are difficult. I thought at the weekend, Derek McKenna said they kind of gifted Livingston a couple of goals. I thought Livy started the game well, but I thought Hearts would get a difficult game through there. Obviously, four seasons in one day doesn't help either, but listen, these games, the focus is going to be on these games, so whether it's on the telly or not, you're going to have to handle all the pressure that comes with it.
Every theory is out, is open. It's open season on everything, Gordon DL.
Yeah.
Kick-off times, televised matches. Can I put a pressure on the Jambos? Are you buying that?
No.
Oh, well.
No, because I look at even the kick-off times, there's 5:30s in there, there are bank holidays. I know they all play at 8 o'clock. There's 8 o'clock for Motherwell and Hearts. Look, it's just a mixed bag. The simple fact is, you've got to just go and win your games, right? You knew you're going to have, whether it be three home games and two away or two and three, whatever.
I was going to say that.
You Zach, knew that was happening.
Because I take it, Zach, you mean sort of from here on, because obviously Rangers and Hearts have played one more home game already, so, you know, they've sort of had that advantage, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh, I don't mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel as if, obviously, having a home game is obviously the home advantage, and then being away from home could possibly put a wee bit more pressure on you as you're on an opposite ground. They've got a better atmosphere, they've got their own fans. But
Zach, you've got Celtic away, right? Would you say that's your biggest game?
Yeah.
Right. What was the score the last time you went to Celtic Park?
I know, I do have to take that into account as well.
Still doesn't mean though that's the way you would choose it.
But
every level of football, away games are a bit harder, aren't they?
Yeah, but sometimes, look, as you said, Rangers and Hearts have played one more game at home,
yeah.
So they've got to play three
exactly.
away.
And that's why I'd imagine, seeing the dressing rooms, that's none of this stuff, you need to just almost leave all that be, because if you're saying, any of us for any of the teams, no matter what order it is, if you say, you know, the split, and if you've got more home games, that's an advantage, what you're in a roundabout way saying to Hearts and Rangers is, well, you're only above Celtic just now because you've played one more home game.
Yeah.
Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? If you're saying it's such a big advantage post-split, well, then you to have had that advantage pre-split.
That's right.
You don't want to sort of diminish what you've achieved.
Gordon,
by
football, we are complicating football. Football's simple. These fixtures have to be played. Right, no matter what order you're going to put them in, and everybody wants their own favoured order and whatever it may be. It's simple. The best team go and win the games and win the league. It's there for Hearts, it's there for Rangers, and there it's for Celtic.
Yeah. I like the one, I don't know if you saw it, because on Monday night we were going through this and saying there's a lot of there's so many boxes that need ticked about who plays how many home games, away games, need to finish home away or away home, can't have two teams in the same city playing, etc, yeah. etc. And once you've done all that, there's not a lot of wriggle room. And we tried and we went round and round, and now eventually one of the greatest attention to detail providers in the Scottish football internet scene, Scotland's Coefficient, did you see that today, published an article to talk about how there was no mathematical way that Hearts could play at home in the last day.
Is that right?
And I thought, where was that on Monday night? I could have been doing me just reading that out
yeah.
and just passing the buck
Cam everything
onto somebody else.
He'll be wrong.
But I think you make a good point. See, if you ask any of the, I don't think any of the players will be too bothered how they'll just take every game. Yeah. I know it's a, but I don't think the players, I think the fans, obviously, guys like ourselves have to debate it. You can maybe look at the times and argue for, you know, fans getting to different places at whatever time.
Because that's valid, but kind of separate from the sporting bit, isn't
it? So you can understand that. But I think if you spoke to the players, I think they just look
at that.
But
you're only saying that because you've got three home games.
Possibly.
And you've got Hearts at home in the final game.
But as you've just said, it's up for grabs. So you're,
see, to be
as a
fair,
player with six games to go, you're like, right, let's go and
to
win
be
the
fair,
games.
Zach actually wasn't even complaining about the fixtures when we've just hijacked
it.
Zach, what's going to be key? What's going to be key for Rangers, do you think, to pull this off? I don't know, a player that you think is going to step up or whatever?
Well, obviously winning games is important. It's six finals. You've got to win every game. Possibly you can fit in a draw there. But I feel as if you've got to keep all the players fit. You've got to keep, as I said, winning. You've just got to keep winning is the main factor.
Who are, I don't know if you want to give me one or two, but who do you think is, who are you pinning your hopes on, if that makes sense? And I know it's going to be a team effort. It's not the type of question I would put to Danny Rule, but to a Rangers fan, who do you think can be the difference maker for you between now and the end of the season?
Well, Mikey Moore, he's been doing really well as of the start of the, since the start of the season till now. There's a huge difference since Danny Rule's come in on him. He's, from the very start of the season, he's a fraction of the player he is just now. He's really good in the ball, getting past players, getting that ball into the box for people just to hit it in the back of the net and get a goal.
Yeah, yep. Gordon, you're nodding away.
Yeah, incredible the turnaround. When he first come on the scene, you're thinking, oh, here we go, another wonder kid up from a top English Premier League team, won't cut it. He has been absolutely brilliant for Rangers, probably most important player just now.
Most dangerous.
Yeah, game changer, match winner. He has been brilliant for Rangers so far. You can see the lads now playing with that sort of a freedom, the confidence, the fans love him, everything about it. And he's certainly shown why that there's, what they were quoting, something like that, young kid already is worth 10 million quid. I'm not saying that, but that's what the quotes were going about. But he has been really, really top player for Rangers in recent months, you would say. Yeah. So he's got to play a big, big part if Rangers got to win this title.
I was actually a wee bit concerned when they first brought him to the club, because I'd seen little bits of him with Spurs last year. Mm-hmm. But he never, obviously, had to find his feet. Young kid coming into the Rangers, but I'd say he's their most dangerous player just now by far.
Is that, again, you were talking about the little fine margins. My goodness, we've gone on to the pressure of TV cameras. So, and we spoke about Celtic earlier on with injuries. That could be key, couldn't it? You're looking at trying to keep everybody fit, trying to make sure that you get as many. Talk about Hearts getting a couple back. They'll want to keep them. Be interesting to get an update from Danny Rule tomorrow, because I know there's been a bit of speculation this week about Ryan Nadiri and whether he's got much life left in the season or not.
The only thing I'll say about that is the fact that, yes, it was good confidence booster for him, got his goal at the weekend. But you've got Chirmiti, who can't wait for a Hearts or Rangers Celtic game. And then you've got Majoski comes on and gets a goal, and all of a sudden that confidence is there. So Rangers have got that sort of option that they would like to have Nadiri, because I think the Rangers fans like him for his work rate and everything about him. But they've still got two strikers that they've paid over, 12 million quid for. So it's not the worst position to be. Celtic are down to their last fullback. You look at Hearts, Stuart Finlay coming back for them at the weekend, this weekend, will be a massive boost for them. So, yeah, you don't want to lose your big hitter, especially at this time.
I think Shanklin coming back as well
from
Hearts.
Exactly.
They looked good, those two, didn't they? For all the bits that went wrong for Hearts and the dropping of the points.
He's a threat.
Those two looked, Raga and Shanklin.
I would say that if Celtic had those two, or Rangers had those two, they'd be firm favourites to pick up the title.
Say that again, sorry. If
Celtic or Rangers had day two strikers.
Oh, Celtic or Rangers?
Yes, both of them. Because they're the best two strikers in the league by far.
Yeah, it's interesting that. That is an interesting point. They probably would both
play. I know the big argument Celtic fans will go, but we don't play with two strikers.
You'd find room. Just tuck one.
I would change my formation.
What did you make of the way Cammy Devlin went after Braga when he didn't cut the ball back?
No, he didn't. It wasn't. It was because he didn't go down.
Are you sure?
100%. See if you watch it. Listen, stand on that and me, right? Guarantee you he went after him because he didn't go down.
Oh, right, I thought that was with you. I thought it was.
I was at the game and I thought it was because he didn't cut it back and he smashed into the side netting.
I watched that a couple of times and I thought,
are you sure?
100%.
Do you know what?
Watch what he says to him. You can see it.
I don't feel confident enough to argue because I like your conviction. You seem sure.
It was 100%. Nobody will argue me.
You reckon Braga should have went down?
I think Cammy Devlin thought Braga
should have went down.
And to be fair to Braga, I like Braga in the sense that was it down at Rugby Park? It was the same.
What do you like about it? If he'd gone down, they'd have got a penalty.
I like the fact that there's honesty in the game. When I played, there was a lot of honesty.
There's honesty, and then there's being daft.
Sorry.
You try to say he shouldn't have gone down against Kilmarnock. I can't really remember the contact against Livi, but the Kelly one was a foul.
Okay, against Kilmarnock, I probably went down.
Right, exactly.
Against Livi, I don't think there was enough.
You wouldn't have passed, that's for sure.
I'd never have passed, no. but let me tell you now, you can go, and I don't care who tweets in tonight. I'm telling you, that's what Cammy did. Even if Cammy Devlin, see if Cammy Devlin tweets in, I'm telling you now, right, okay. I'll call him out. That's what he says to Braga.
Zach, thank you. I don't know how we ended up there. What about Rab on the line? How are you, Rab?
I'm great, Gordon. Thanks for having us on. Good evening, Sid.
Pleasure.
As well.
Hey, Rab.
What's happening, Rab? What's happening?
I've been listening to the show for that. You know, I listen to it every night. And one of the kind of key themes is no one could see this coming, just how the season was going to pan out, etc. And I've been planning for absolute years to go and do the Mount Everest Marathon, which is on the anniversary of the first summit on the 29th. But if I then do a count back to the day that I need to fly, you couldn't write it. I fly on the 16th of May. And the flight's at 1 o'clock.
Oh dear.
I'm going to miss the last game of the season.
Marathon, Rab?
Mount Everest.
Hold on, marathon. What, you're on up Mount Everest?
Up and down at 26 times.
No, it's not a mile up.
What does that entail, Rab? What are you doing?
I'm taking a group of 21 people to Everest Base Camp, and then I'm going to leave them for a couple of days and then do the highest marathon in the world, you know, which I've been waiting to get a slot on.
Year 2000. Rab, I am in awe of this. Clear the phone lines. I need the next hour and a half with Rab. That is unbelievable. Seriously. Right, so what you've been working up to this, I take it? What's your sort of history of doing mad stuff like this?
He's just coming out the boozer and turning up.
Just
saying.
You're right. I've ran across the Sahara Desert 5 times.
Rab.
I know, but I'm in a midlife crisis. I'm 56, so...
I'm 56?
Aye.
well done, Rob.
Oh, my word. Right, obviously, at the altitude, right, and how much... try to ask this without sounding really stupid, as if I don't know
that... going to base camp.
As if I don't know that Everest is high.
And then he's taking in a marathon.
Can you quantify how much harder that is, I suppose, is what I'm asking, Rob?
But they say I've been there quite a few times, there's got 50% less oxygen at that level. But it's just honestly, I've been saying to all my family, my friends, kind of living down here, you just honestly couldn't write it with the
timing.
Rab, you're getting more excitement than the league. Come on, Rab, can I just ask you a question? What's your PB?
I don't work in times, Dazzler, because it's older, you know the score, mate. We slow down.
You're not going to worry about the time.
No,
about base camp.
The challenge is to get to base camp.
Get it done.
I know.
Did you right? So what's going to be harder, you doing that or Celtic coming from third to win this league?
You know, sitting in an aeroplane and then we land in Istanbul on transit, and they basically Heathrow Airport to Istanbul. I was sitting chewing my fingers, not knowing what's happening.
Oh. No, Rab, I've got a great idea, right?
You'll get on flight Wi-Fi these days, surely.
Right. No, don't find it's out. Rubbish. Don't find
just,
out.
Just watch sports scene.
No, and listen to the podcast when you're running.
Well, he's way back.
No, but as soon as he lands,
he's way back. I think, is it not?
No, it's the way out, I think.
Oh, is it the way there? Sorry, Rab. I misheard you.
Well, it's the day we leave.
Oh, no. Oh, that's bad.
I know. It's the day we leave, you know. So I'll be looking after 21 people, just kind of like my mind will be elsewhere.
Well, do you know what, Rab? You could spin it both ways. If this goes badly for you in the title race, you've got 26 miles with 50% less oxygen to really just go over where it went wrong. And if it goes well for you, you've got happy thoughts.
He's in top of the world
to kick you on, literally. Rab, please stay in touch with us. Let us know how it goes, will you?
I will do. I was going to get in touch. So I was going to try and get in touch with Mark Wilson, because when he went up Kilimanjaro, I was going to say, did you want to come across with us one time? But yeah, he's too busy now.
He's busy at the moment. Yeah.
Doesn't even speak to us anymore, Rab, to be honest. You're wasting your time.
I've never heard of him.
Thanks very much to Rab.
Good luck, Rab. Line.
So a wee lesson to you Celtic fans. See those of you who think you're going to be stressed, you feel like you're lacking oxygen on the last day of the season. Spare a thought for poor Rab, who's going to be doing a marathon at Everest Base Camp.
That's brilliant, isn't it? What age did you said?
I'm 51.
You should be there with Rab.
Mate, I did.
Rab and Sid.
You went to Kilimanjaro,
no,
did you?
No, I was Mount Cotopaxi in Ecuador, and I get carried off.
That's a wee hill.
I get carried off with altitude sickness.
Cotopaxi's wee hill.
I'd like to see you go up it.
Like if he said that as if he's heard of it.
I know, he's never
heard of it. It's no Tinto.
Where is it?
Cotopaxi.
Where is it?
Wherever you said it was.
Where do you think that is?
South Africa or something.
Ecuador.
Close. Around the corner.
Quito.
Did you? Quito. So hold on, before we move on, you got stretched off.
Oh, mate, it was a nightmare. It was one of the worst experiences, because six of the boys got to the
did
top.
Did your Celtic top on?
No, there was 13 as went. I think six got to the top. I get carried off.
Oh, embarrassing.
It was terrible.
Were you embarrassed?
To be fair, that's six.
And I probably
Quito
will never go to
6,000 metres high.
But
what he didn't tell you is he was only 150 metres up.
I know.
Above the clouds. I got above the clouds.
You get carried off. That's embarrassing.
6,000 metres high.
I don't care. But
anyway, it's horrible.
You don't get carried off.
It's horrible.
Off.
So respect to Rab going where he's going.
The actual cheek of this guy.
An athlete, a guy who trained all his days, gets carried off.
It was only 4 years ago you were going round the golf course on a mobility scooter because your hip was sore.
Where was the place at the Euros that he was a wee bit up? Remember on the kind of zip?
Exactly.
Slide.
That's in Munich Stadium.
You had the fear.
There were planes talking to me. Well, not the planes, obviously.
Right. Before we move on, let me tell you about this. Grade one. Over £750,000 will be won tomorrow on Make Me a Winner. Last week's winner, Jen, could not believe it when she got the call.
I don't even know what to say. I can't believe it. I'll buy a house for us, treat my girls how I want to, without having to think what's in the bank. Oh my God. Thank you so much.
See, if you won it, would you spend a couple hundred grand signing up for Everest Base Camp?
No, I'd go to Augusta,
yeah.
Get yourself in the draw right now. The cash could all be yours. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there, or call 03434 269 340. All calls charged at a standard network rate. Over 18s only. Lines close 5pm tomorrow. Text YES to 61025 for £760,000. Got a bit of breaking news to bring you for after these as well.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL here. This show, we've covered off a lot of ground so far. We started off with golf. On mountaineering,
also,
and that's all the tweets that are coming in now are just about that. Nothing, forget the football.
About the golf and the mountaineering.
Pause off says, imagine climbing a mountain with Daz. His big hooter would be swallowing up all the thin air.
That's a bit. That's nice. Fair play. Yeah, I'm not against that. Well done. But he's a looker.
Good to see you're not bothered by it. And John says, tell Rab. No way. John says, tell Rab there's an Irish bar on base camp at Everest. My son did the same trip 5 years ago. It's the highest Irish bar in the world.
No, I'm not having that.
Get Celtic TV John, on it.
So you'll be commentating. Right, Rab, get yourself.
So anyway, I'm going to base camp.
The Irish bar at base camp. You'll watch the last game of the season. Simon Donnelly will talk you through it.
Only chance I'm getting to that height.
Imagine getting to base camp and and you've got altitude sickness. You know, eyes are a bit, and you see Simon Donnelly and Peter Grant on the telly on the stick.
Grant and his polling.
I hope they've got an official stream.
Oh, you'll not need it. In fact, it's a it's overseas.
Yeah.
It's overseas.
The coffee has gone.
The show has descended into chaos. It's only a little dribble that I had left. Anyway, I did say I had some breaking news prior to the break, and it's not. It's serious. It's not about Basecamp or anything like it. We've actually got about the Scotland captain. Liverpool have confirmed Andy Robertson will leave Liverpool at the end of the season. They say he will do so as a Liverpool legend. 9 successful seasons, says the Scotland captain, will leave upon the expiry of his contract. 373 appearances to date, signed from Hull in 2017. 2 Premier Leagues, a Champions League, an FA Cup, 2 League Cups, a FIFA Club World Cup, a UEFA Super Cup. And I don't like how English clubs include the Community Shield, so scrap that bit off your website, please.
And a potential World Cup
by the summer. That's big. That's big news,
that's
that.
Big.
Yeah, I wonder where he's going, eh? You
back
think he'll come back to his roots? Motherwell will be looking for a good right but left back.
Dundee United.
Well, listen, we're joking. You know what the two and two together bit leads to.
It's interesting. Obviously, Salah was that last week. Now it's the end of an era for Liverpool. But what a career! What a career! And it's not over yet. He's still got the smile on it.
How old is?
I'll get to my smile. A couple of things. On a serious note, firstly, just let's pay tribute to that before we worry about what comes next. I feel like what's happened here is, for a while, you used to repeat the Andy Robertson story, and then it became a bit like, all right, we know, he used to sell tickets at Hampden, he was working at Marks and Spencers, he tweeted that he had no money, and now look at him. So what you do is, obviously, you need to move on up to a point, but then I think you sometimes take for granted just how good it is that we've had a player, any player operating at that level, never mind one that does have that backstory. And I know he has gone on record, hasn't he, and said that he doesn't want it to be seen as a fairy tale because he worked so hard to get there, and that's valid. But let me read that again. 2 Premier Leagues, a Champions League, an FA Cup, 2 League Cups, and the FIFA Club World Cup and UEFA Super Cup.
The best thing about
for a guy that was started at Queen's Park, it is absolutely astonishing.
Well, it is a fairy tale because, see, at the end of the day, getting there is the hard bit. But the hardest bit after that is staying there.
Yeah.
And you've just read out his achievements.
That's amazing.
Incredible. He's been absolutely brilliant.
Potentially goes on to take the appearances for Scotland as well.
When you've got that as well, yeah. I'm just talking about his Liverpool accolades because that's, you know, the bit that's coming to an end. Will be really interesting to see what comes next because there was talk of Tottenham, remember?
There was
Tottenham. There was Atletico Madrid.
The transfer window, yeah.
He's very, very close with Mo Salah. He could very easily, I'm sure, go and pick up still a couple hundred grand a week in Saudi if he fancied. Or does if you're talking about the storyline, does that look like green and white hoops at any point before his career ends?
Is he a known Celtic supporter?
That's where he started as a kid.
Started there as a kid,
yeah.
Never worked out, went to Queen's Park. But listen.
Well, last year it was Tierney for Arsenal. This year it could be Robertson from Liverpool.
Do you think, though, the level he's coming from, like I said there, we don't know what league they're going to be in next year, but what if the next option is Spurs in the Premier League,
or the Premier
League, Atletico Madrid, or, like I said,
go to Spain?
We'll give you a 2-bedroom flat with Mo Salah, and you can split 600 grand a week, but he gets more of it than you do. You know,
I thought you were going to see expenses.
32.
He's
turned 32 last month.
He's still got plenty in the tank, and he's a fit boy. I don't know. Obviously the lure of Celtic, he's heart potentially, but you look at guys that went abroad, like your McTominay's as well. Was there something there that he would catch his eye? I don't know.
I would just chuck it. I'd retire.
But can we get a serious answer off you?
No, but 32, you've achieved everything. To go out in a high, what's the point of keeping going?
The love of the game.
Did you hear what I said about the 200 grand a week at
and that.
Saudi?
I know.
That's not the point.
Do you know what I mean? It's a short career. Yeah. Do you know, okay, see, I know that Tottenham was interested in everything, Premier League. if he was going to do the final, but last contract of his career, I would probably look at going abroad.
Yeah.
And seeing
experiencing
the
something different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're going, you've got to tick all the boxes.
I looked to McTominay and Billy Gilmer to name two. There's obviously a few others out there, but going to Naples and winning that league and the whole culture of it, you know, you do. Yeah,
I wonder if they
of it.
Feel like certainly McTominay for sure, and Gilmer a lot younger. That this was more of a. They still got a bit to prove in club football.
Yeah, no,
he maybe doesn't.
Aye, it's
does
not.
He?
Aye, it's not exactly like mm-hmm. for like. But I'm just talking about the experience
and
of going somewhere
well.
And winning something, and you know, it's,
well,
it's
a good,
just opens up other
tell you
doors.
What, I didn't expect that topic tonight necessarily. But what do you make of it? Anyone just wants to pay tribute to Andy Robertson, or suggest where he should end up next? Get your calls in. I've got a very important update. Remember, we were speculating about why Cammy Devlin was raging at Claudio Braga, because everybody thought it was for not cutting the ball back.
Yeah,
Gordon DL, I had real faith in you. You spotted it, something nobody else had spotted. You said it was for not going down, and you said you would argue with anyone.
Andy,
and
I don't want to name the person, right? But let's just say this person would know. Okay,
right,
can we leave it at that? Let's just say this person would know.
You got shame, Ron.
It was for not cutting it back because he did the same thing in training 2 days before, and we were all going mad with it. And then a bit I can't read out on a family show.
I don't believe
Let's
that.
Play Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Trust me, the person that says it, you've no, you can't argue with.
Yeah. Derek's wrong.
Archie told me for the card.
Closer than that, believe me. Anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit. 01419511025. And the lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We've got mountaineering experts Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly. Part mountaineering, part masters, a wee bit of football thrown in there as well. It's been one of those shows. If you want to please put us back on the straight and narrow, we would be delighted about it. Bit of breaking news before the news there about Andy Robertson leaving Liverpool at the end of the season. I wonder if any, I was going to say Scottish clubs, I think that really means Celtic, doesn't it? If whether you Celtic fans think that could be the next destination, or is there either a big payday somewhere left or a European league to be won or something? Give us all your thoughts there, please. And of course, our own title race. 01419511025. We play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. How's the form? Remind me.
I get beaten Tuesday
3-2. Did you?
Yeah.
What did you do wrong on Tuesday? Remind me, was there anything in particular?
I got the question that you didn't read out right about the World Cup.
Oh, no, yes.
That
yes,
I've
yes,
got
yes,
100%
yes.
right. But once again, the people at the top are just neglecting their
Out
job.
To get you.
Yeah, I remember it well, actually. Oh, having said
Lee
that,
Lee Mack would never have read the question.
Alex Ray did win last night. Did you hear it? 1-0.
1-0.
That's my type of win.
Any chance of getting him back on, that guy?
But he, the questions were brutal. They were so it. Hard. And but he slipped into your club. He had a faux pas that you would have been proud of.
Yep, go.
Which Scottish club did Roberto Martinez play for?
Motherwell.
He said
Motherwell.
Wigan.
Well, I can see that it's not too far away.
So try and so there were 9 wrong answers before Alex got one right
it
last
must
night.
Have been hard.
They were difficult.
Scrappy one.
Oren is on the line. How are you, Oren?
Not too bad, lads. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Is this your debut on Beat the Pundit?
That is, yeah.
Good. Right, you've got a man here whose head was gone, lost on Tuesday. You've got another man here who's bottom of the table. So you're pretty wise.
You could play the twos.
If you
still win.
Have you got a preference?
Anybody.
I like that.
I like Oren's style. Let's toss the coin. If it is the blue side of the coin, that's Simon Donnelly. The red side of the coin is Gordon DL. Are you ready?
Go. Mm-hmm.
Right, let's do it. And it is blue for Simon Donnelly.
Look at his wee face.
You still head still
face.
Scrambled to beat the pundit.
Honestly, has
been a bad season.
There.
Bad season.
Do you know some? Actually, so, first time I've looked at him and he was actually praying there.
I've not seen that look in his face. Since,
I know.
Since he got carried off with altitude sickness.
I wish I was up there.
He probably felt better then.
But you can't write off the full season.
No. You're only as good as your last game, so bring it on.
Right, Oran, what we'll do is give Simon something else to listen to. You have 30 seconds to answer as many as you can. You are more than welcome to pass if you don't know the answer. So let's get going. Happy?
Yeah.
Right, 30 seconds then on the clock, and your time starts now. Who's played more games for Celtic this season, Alistair Johnson or Callum Osmond?
Callum Osmond.
Everton defender Kenzie Weir is the daughter of which Scottish footballer?
David Weir.
Scotland's friendly opponents Bolivia are from which continent?
South America.
Who was relegated to the Championship via the playoffs last season?
Ross County.
Name any country Jens Bertelascu has managed in before Motherwell.
Denmark.
In what decade did Falkirk last play in a Scottish Cup final?
2010s.
This season's youngest top flight goal scorer plays for which club?
I'll go for
quick
Falkirk.
Right, okay. Right, let's bring him back. Whoa. Simon Donnelly, can you hear us?
I'm so glad I didn't get the questions.
You think they're tough tonight?
No, but a couple of the ones just ain't up my street.
I know.
That means they'll know up mine.
Oh, no, you'll be okay. I'm just got a wee sort of a problem with one or two.
I can see where your foot would have gone.
Yes.
On a couple of those.
Yes.
But anyway, right, you ready, Simon?
Yeah, let's go.
30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who's played more games this season for Celtic, Alistair Johnson or Callum Osmond?
Johnson.
Everton defender Kenzie Weir is the daughter of which Scottish footballer?
Davy Weir.
Scotland's friendly opponents Bolivia are from which continent?
South America.
Who was relegated to the Championship via the playoffs last season?
St Johnson.
Name any country Jens Bertelascu managed in before Motherwell?
Denmark.
In what decade did Falkirk last play in a Scottish Cup final?
90s.
Okay. Right, Oran, how do you think it went?
That first question was terrible for me.
Okay.
What about the other six?
Well, we'll get to those.
I don't like them much better.
I don't know if it was a good game. Let's go through them and find out who's played more games this season for Celtic, Alistair Johnson or Callum Osmond. Alistair Johnson has played 5, Callum Osmond
6.
3. It's Alistair Johnson. So you did get it wrong, Oran, but I think you've been hard on yourself. There's only a couple in it. But Simon Donnelly kept his composure and goes 1-0 in front. Everton defender Kenzie Weir is the daughter of Davy Weir. Well done. Oran got it as well. He's been added to the Scotland squad this week. So it's 2-1 to Simon. You both knew that Bolivia are from South America.
Is that the one he was struggling
with? Be honest. What would you have said?
I really
because geography and you do not mix.
I probably would do in Asia or something. I don't know. I'd have been all over the globe. I didn't have my big globe sitting with me spin it round.
Well, it was South America. You both got it. Who was relegated to the Championship via the playoffs? Simon Donnelly. Ross County. Equaliser.
I was so confident with that.
I know you were.
Just tight.
Against Livy. Remember it, 5-3 on aggregate.
I can't believe you.
Name any country Jens Bertelascu managed in before Motherwell. You had the choice of the Faroe Islands.
Denmark.
Sweden. And Denmark. You both got it. Still level.
Oh, tight. Four each.
What are you counting up?
It's level.
3-3 or 4-4. It's a good game.
I'm going to come back to the next question because Oran got one more than you and it was this season's youngest top flight goal scorer plays for which club? He said Falkirk. It's actually Rangers. It's Mikey Moore. So that didn't matter. So all comes down. We're level. In what decade did Falkirk last play in a Scottish Cup final? Simon Donnelly said the 90s. Do you have a specific one in mind?
Falkirk against Kilmarnock.
Yeah, did you forget?
They beat us in the semi-final. Oh, you're going to tell me another
what
one.
About when Inverness beat them in the final in 2015 in the 2010s?
Yeah, forgot about that one.
And Oran,
did you get it?
Give him the bad news, Oran. You got it, didn't you?
I did.
2010s, he said.
Oh, man. Has Mikey Moore got more goals than Barney Stewart?
What?
What?
In the nicest way possible, what are you on about?
The question before that.
This season's youngest top flight goal scorer plays for which club?
Oh, young. It's making me. Aye, okay.
Oh, 18. For goodness. Is he got altitude sickness?
Sorry.
I'm gutted. I was so confident.
Sorry, my apologies.
Have you been up the South Asian mountains?
No, when
in
I heard it first, I thought it was a different question.
To be fair, right?
Did you get beat again?
I'm gutted.
This just shows you.
See, when I finished that,
you were confident.
I was so confident I'd got them all right.
This just shows you how nothing's going your way this season. Because
5-4.
I know, 4's no bad. Oran was,
you know, something. Can I name check somebody? There's a wee guy at my gym class, Scott, and he's going to be after me in the morning.
Does he give you a time for beat the pundit?
For beat the pundit, aye. He'll be after me in the morning.
Honestly,
Oran, I thought I'd won there.
Oran, that was good.
You did think you'd won. You were giving me the wink. I know, and half fight.
Oran, you must be pleased with that.
I'll take that.
Well done, Oran.
That was an impressive effort. I mean, seriously. Because apart from that cheeky 50-50 Alistair Johnston,
yeah,
he was flawless. Apart from that, superb. Who's your team, Oran?
Celtic. That's why I was annoyed.
I'll let you off, Oran.
I still think that's tricky. I don't know. What are you thinking about your prospects? You know what the schedule looks like. You've got St Mirren up first. Where's your confidence level at?
I'm kind of in the middle just now. I don't want to get too carried away because, you know, fine, well, this season just has brought up so many surprises. But you know, I suppose you need to be confident as well at the same time. But I just think Iheanacho, Negrin and the more attacking kind of players need to step up a wee bit.
So you, like, we had a previous caller who was very much, you know, kind of need Iheanacho to be the one starting games, need him to step up and all that stuff. You on that? Kind of same thought process.
I don't know if start games, but just definitely scoring. Even if I think you get more from like Tam up front, so then even if Iheanacho comes on and does what he does against Dundee, you'll definitely take that.
Yeah, I was going to ask there. We flirted with this earlier, but I want to experience it more or explore it more. Sorry, with two attackers. Where, how do you strike that balance? Because what everybody keeps saying is Iheanacho's the best finisher, right? Don't think MD would argue with that. Mm-hmm. Oran says you get more from Big Tam, as he's affectionately known. Merge the two of them, you've probably got what Celtic, you've got what Celtic are looking for. That's beyond our capabilities at the moment. So is there a case where you do still lean towards Chivantura? He gives you what he gives you. The one he dinks might go the inside of the post next, you know, rather than Iheanacho.
Listen, I think Oran makes some decent points, and Daz touched on it earlier in the show as well. The fact that it's St Mirren and Falkirk at home, and you're thinking about the other games, I can see his train of thought there to play Chivantura from the start and maybe in the actual half hour possibly, but I do agree with him. I think the strikers along that front three, he's mentioned Negrin there as well. Negrin's popped up with 19 goals, but I think the others need to take some responsibility in the next six games. We're so used to in recent times Celtic scoring that front three, or the next three that came on, so many goals, they need to take responsibility in the
no matter what you, no matter what you think, Simon, they're going to play their part, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because Iheanacho's not going to play the remainder of the season out. There's absolutely no chance.
No.
Even if he does, even with pure luck, because he's a bit centre forward, let's not be kidded here, but even if he does,
you're going to require the other
He'll not play 90 minutes every game, so you need people to come on. And
do you think Masuanisi did a wee celebration when Yang got the final touch on that one off Negrin? Just if he's got that golden boot in his sights, could have made all the difference.
Could have, right?
Yeah. Who thought we needed a super slow motion VAR check on the race for the top scorer?
I forgot the rules though, because they're both behind the ball. I thought he'd touched it in the...
Oh, he was offside?
Yeah.
He's behind it.
Forgot the rules of the
game. See, I'm a sort of a... I thought...
Would you have stole it off me if I'd done the wee flick over the goal?
Look, I slaughtered him for it, right? But...
but you'd have done it.
Do as I say, not as I do, sort of thing. Well, I was a centre-forward. I was greedy. And I wanted a trophy at the end of the season.
Oran, the... All of a sudden, a bit of a scenario at right-back where... you've got four of them and three of them seem to be injured. Is that a concern, or do you think Anthony Ralston can come in and plug that gap for the foreseeable?
Well, he's going to have to. It's kind of unfortunate the way everything's kind of panned out, but there's a lot of pressure on everybody just now, I think, and there's no point trying to change a system. I think you just need to go with Anthony Ralston, and he's done it for a while, although maybe not everybody has a great opinion about him, but you're going to need to do it, and I think everybody's going to need to step up, and hopefully you get Engels and as many players that are out just now back to give you the best chance of actually winning this league.
Because it feels like there's still a bit of an unknown, you know, week on week. Like that was a good win in the sense that people thought Celtic
maybe weren't going to win. It's been a tough place to go, but probably still not the type of performance overall where you go, right, fine, do everything like that again. Aye. As an example, if you're picking the team again from the weekend, does Oxlade-Chamberlain still start? Did he do enough? Are you back to Rio Hitati? Do you need Arne Engels to come back? You know, it still feels like it's a week.
Week by week.
Week by week.
I think it's been like that all season. I really do. I don't think anybody has really nailed down a period in the team that you can't take that guy out of the team. I think it's just been that kind of season for Celtic. And you look at that game and you're right, it's a difficult game going up to Dens. I thought they started okay, they created chances. I think they could have been two or three at half time.
I thought they played very well
in the first half. But yet you go in 1-0 and then Chivanchara has the chance at the start of the second half.
I probably didn't word it well enough. I'm not saying it was a bad performance, but like that, because I still saw some, like,
don't get me wrong, at one each, you think Dundee are going to go in and win it.
How did Oxlade-Chamberlain play? Let's make it specifically about that area, if Oren's talking about Ingles.
I thought he'd done all right. I thought the worst midfield player was McGregor. I didn't think McGregor played particularly well. I thought he gave the ball away a lot in possession, got caught. But the one thing is, you can't team McGregor's got to play because he doesn't have many bad games because he's got so much quality. Me personally, Chamberlain, he's of course he's got great ability.
Up to speed.
I just think you can run off these guys.
I mean, obviously they watch day in day out. I think, in Hitati, nobody had a good game against Dundee United, but I think Hitati in recent times has stepped up from the Rangers game where he came on when they were 2-0 down at half time. I still like Hitati in there. I know sometimes he can frustrate and he hasn't hit the heights at times. I'd still have him in my team.
And who would you leave it?
Probably Ox.
Yeah. I can see that. And I think that obviously what's going to be important as well is people that are coming on for the bench are going to make impacts. Especially with your six games left. So you can bring him on and stuff like that. You've got your choice there with your centre forward, who you're going to play and who you're going to bring on the pitch.
Thank you very much to Oren. A good win on Beat the Pundit as well. What are you thinking, coin or ball?
The coin, please.
See, I think that's the connoisseur's choice. I still like the ball, but I just...
Coin's beautiful.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful.
Just got you to have another one there.
Anyway, well done to
Oren. You got another one.
Let's hear from... what it's like inside the title race at the moment. Let's hear from Hart Stewart Finlay. You'll like this answer, right? You listen carefully. He's been asked about how do you escape the pressure, you know, and can you focus on the job in hand and all that stuff. Let's hear him.
What I will accept is it's getting harder to ignore. We understand at the start of the season we were the disruptive noise around the place that everybody expected to tail away, but we've had an inner belief that we had targets to set at the start of the season. And obviously we're on track. It's impossible to say we're drowning out the outside noise because everywhere that you turn, there's going to be something about it. You turn on the car and the Super Scoreboard comes on, you listen to that. You turn on your phone, you look at Twitter, you're going to see something about it. We understand that. That's just the nature of where we are in the league. But we've got such a good change room, such a good group, such a good inner circle where we are, that we all have faith in each other. We all have one goal. We're all singing from the same hymn sheet and we have to just make sure that we use all that.
You hear that? You're essentially influencing the title race.
I think Sid is, maybe not myself.
So when you say Cammy Devlin was shouting at Braga for blah,
I know what he was shouting.
These guys will hear it.
I know.
And they say the Dazzler's talking now. He's
no. They know. I know.
That's
sticking to that.
Go and have a look at his lips.
What a feather in your cap, though. You guys are being...
No, super.
You're basically involved in the title race. That's what I took.
Know what they're doing? They're turning it on just to see Beat the Pundit. Let's be honest.
Laughing their heads off.
Yeah, see if they can get the quiz.
Anyway, let's move on and take more of your calls when we return. Let me run something by you first, actually, because I know it is that time of the year. I definitely feel your pain. Easter holidays, you're maybe stuck for something to do, especially when you look out the window and the rain's battering down. Well, how about the Scottish Football Museum at Barclays Hampden? Perfect day for the entire family. You can enjoy a stadium tour, see the dressing rooms, the pitch, look around the museum. Thousands of objects in display, including the original Scottish Cup. Remember, that's the world's oldest national football trophy, so it's pretty cool. Piece of kit. Plus you can stop in the lunch for cafe as well. Stop for lunch in the cafe to make sure you're well fed and watered. You were telling me you were looking for stuff to do with your granddaughter.
Yeah.
Hamden Cafe.
Do you know something?
Hamden Museum.
Yeah, I've been there, right? And I took a party of Americans to it.
This feels made up, but okay.
No, it's fantastic. It's true. And I've got to say, it's a brilliant day.
It is. It really is. Anyway, go to Clyde1.com. You can win a free school trip as well for your kids' class. The Scottish Football Museum at Barclays Hamden. Head to Clyde1.com right now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly's still here despite his beat the pundit humiliation. Gordon DL is alongside him. It's a tough school now. We're calling a 1 point defeat a humiliation.
I know.
It is what it is.
5-4.
Four's good, mate.
Keep your calls coming on 0141 951 1025. Let me give you this question first.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Wow. You're going to love this question. Absolutely love it.
My street,
no, it is. Oh, it could not be more up your street. This is up DL Avenue, quite literally.
Continents?
No. Football and golf.
No. Nice.
There's only one other pastime you've got, but we're not allowed to do questions on that.
Right, okay.
On this show. Certainly not this time of night. That would be a whole different quiz, that. Mm. Taylor in Bells Hill says, since 2010, golfers from seven different countries have won the Masters. Can you name the top appearance maker in Scottish football's top flight for each of those nationalities?
Oh.
Okay.
So it's a kind of...
Right, so Irish.
So since 2010, golfers from seven different countries have won the Masters. Can you name the top appearance maker in Scottish football's top flight for each of those countries?
Right, so we've got
Spain,
Irish, Spanish, American. Right.
Many is there? Seven.
Seven.
Who else has won it?
Irish, Spanish,
And then who's the top goal scorer of that nationality in the Premiership?
So who's
so
Irish?
Go through it one by one. Go through one by one.
Either
Anthony Stokes.
Let's.
Since 2010.
Ryan, let's go Ryan specific Blake. In terms of where. So you're referring to which golfer?
McIlroy.
Right, last
Northern
year.
Northern Ireland.
Okay.
So who's the top goal scorer?
I didn't say goal scorer, I said appearance maker.
Oh, appearance maker. We're not even listening to the question. Appearance maker, Irish.
Niall McGinn?
No. This answer, when you eventually get it, is going to be special in so many ways, because we're about to add another layer to the quiz. This is like Inception, because we're going golf, we're going football, but there's another bit. And this won't mean anything to the audience. This is a private conversation you and I are having, but when you get this,
so we know him. We've played golf with him.
You played golf with him this week.
Who you played golf with?
Who'd you play golf with this week?
Stephen Craigan.
Stephen Craigan. There we go. What a chances. Everything's all tying together.
Frightening.
Okay, but you get the gist of the question now.
So yeah? Garcia, Spain.
Right, but we've got time. At least we've got one example. That makes it easier. So since 2010, golfers from seven countries, different countries, have won the Masters. Can you name the top appearance maker in Scottish football top flight for each of those countries? So last year, Rory McIlroy, he's from Northern Ireland. The top appearance maker in Scottish football top flight from Northern Ireland is Stephen Craigan, Motherwell and Partick Thistle. Good question, isn't it? You happy with that?
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I'm trying to work out the seven
golfers.
Yeah, we've Germany. We've got what do you call
Keimer.
Yeah.
No,
he's not won the Masters.
Did he? No.
Are you sure?
No, I don't think he did.
No,
who was the US? You've got a US there. Who was the US winner? Scheffler won it. Aye.
Scheffler,
aye.
All right. There's a million for
the right. Well, US
has won it.
Right. Right, go on then. Give me the top American appearance holder in the Scottish top flight.
American.
It's not a hard one, I must say.
Carter Vickers?
Yes. Cameron Carter Vickers. Right, let's leave it there because I think that is enough for now. Okay. Let's hear a bit from, who else have we got? Let's quickly hear the bottom of the table. We heard from Stuart Finlay on the pressure at the top, saying you can't avoid it when you listen to the Super Scoreboard. Let's hear from Neil McCann and what it looks like at the bottom.
I probably share the same belief as every manager in this position, but I'm bullish to say that I'm completely confident in what I've got sitting in that dressing room downstairs. that they are absolutely capable of having a strong finish to the season. As always, it's going to be when they cross the line, it's split-second decisions, it's making decisions in pressured moments, staying calm in those moments, hopefully. It's having the quality in the final third, which we didn't show on Saturday, although we controlled the largest part of the game. So all of those components need to come together in order that we are going to have a strong finish to the season. But I'm always completely confident in that.
It's going to be brilliant, that at the bottom, isn't it? Because what you've got, and we're kind of doing this at the top a bit, where people, like, Hearts are top, but people are saying they think maybe, you know, Rangers have got a bit of a head of steam and they're the ones that'll end up top. If you look at that similar sort of logic at the bottom, Aberdeen are not in that spot. It is Kilmarnock that are in that spot, and Aberdeen are 3 points ahead of them. You'd rather be in Aberdeen's position. But I've not heard that many people say they think Kilmarnock will be the ones that end up there.
No, because I think Aberdeen, when you're looking at them, they've tried the new manager bounce. It certainly hasn't worked. Aberdeen are dreadful, let's not be kidded here. I think where Kilmarnock will have enough will be their home games. Away from home, they're stuttering a little bit. They're losing a few goals. Falkirk thumped them. You look at Hibs, I don't know, maybe Neil, I never seen the full 90 minutes, but Hibs looked quite convincing to me on the highlights. But obviously, it's hard to judge. St Mirren looked like they've got the new manager interim bounce, so under Craig McLeish. So I think right now, if you were putting a favourite on there, Aberdeen, they need a result against Hibs, and you would not back that at all. Hibs are showing some good form. Aberdeen are dreadful.
But if you're talking about, you would be, you're willing to sort of change your mind at the top at the weekend. Would you do that at the bottom as well? Let's say Aberdeen do get something.
Yeah, it's just as tight. It's equally as hard to predict, I think. You look at it up until the weekend. Kilmarnock had a couple of wins. St Mirren have back-to-back wins. Dundee are still there as well. It's very hard to predict, but the concern's Aberdeen. They're plummeting at the moment.
But there's a big game at the weekend here. You're looking at Kilmarnock, I think, I've got Dundee, Gorma, correct in saying that, at home.
It's massive. It's because, again, talking about perception versus the kind of reality, Dundee have been good. The eye test, Dundee have got some good players. Dundee have had some nice performances. Dundee have produced some big results.
But they're still there.
They're 2 points above Aberdeen.
Correct.
We're talking about good team, crisis team, 2 points between them. So it's amazing what perception can...
It is.
Right, so the basic thing is, if Kilmarnock beat Dundee, I don't fancy St Mirren to get anything at Celtic, and say even Aberdeen lose to Hibs, right?
Then they're all two points
between all the teams. So you would bring Dundee back.
Aberdeen Hibs game. Where's the Aberdeen Hibs game at?
Aberdeen.
Pittodrie.
Yeah. So you would bring Dundee into the equation. Of that, there's no doubt. You couldn't not, because of the point situation. Would you think they would have enough, like Kilmarnock's home record? I think Kilmarnock may have enough under Neil. I think Dundee, looking at their performances, will win a few games. St Mirren seem to be on the up. I worry for Aberdeen. Need a big turnaround for me.
Okay, 01419511025. That's the number you need to get in touch before the end of the show. Andy's on. How are you, Andy?
How are you doing? I'm not bad. How are you guys? All right?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good. What are you thinking?
I've just listened earlier on when they were asking what players do we need for the run-in. I definitely agree with Mikey Moore, and definitely Fernandez. That's a full alternative. And I was saying to the producer, but Gassama, I wouldn't start him, because he doesn't seem to start game well, but when he comes on, as a sub, he seems to come alight. So I wouldn't start him.
You must have been encouraged, though, Andy, because for a long time it really looked like part of the problem was playing off the right side just wasn't an option. Not wasn't an option. It wasn't working for him. None of his good performances were coming off that side. But he played half the game, didn't he? Came on at the weekend and was good. So is that maybe a possibility now?
I think I said about a month ago, I said I wouldn't start Gassama on the right, I'd put him on the left, but you said he came on against Aberdeen and I thought he played really, really, really well. You know what I mean? I just don't know who's going to play up front. If he's going to play, still keep him going two up front, which I'm eating me off. I'm not sure what he's going to do on Saturday, Sunday.
It's an interesting one, right? Because even some players are like that. There's no doubt about it. We've even spoken this season about Tonetke and so on, and it's quite often wingers where you say they're better impact players, they're better at coming on. Can you apply that to Gassama when he came on at half time? Do you know what I mean? It's not like coming on for the last 20 minutes.
I wouldn't start him either.
No, but does coming on at half time and perform well, does that feed into the narrative that you're better as a sub? Do you know what I mean? It's a bit different.
Yeah,
played half the game.
Yeah. You tend to look at subs coming on, making an impact about 60 minutes, which is normal for managers to make that change. But the big question mark is Nadiri seems to be injured, so I don't think he'll go to the two. I know that he could go to Chirmiti and Majoski, but in Scott Olsen, for me, he would not be on the pitch at all. I think what he'll do is he'll keep the three. I think he'll go to Chirmiti, I think he'll go to Moore, and I think he'll play Asgard.
Did you see your colleague Andy Halliday saying that it is now a completely clear, confirmed for him that Scott Olsen will not be signed by Rangers permanently, and therefore, and he's not contributing at the moment, so just don't play him again. What's the point? Do you buy that?
I can take on board what Andy's saying. I wouldn't argue, but I think you've just got to keep everybody ticking along until the end of the season because you might need them. Look, you've got Ant-Man there as well. We've forgot about him. Doesn't seem as injured.
He's
miles away from it. Gassama,
unused sub at the weekend, so you would assume not.
Not for me at all. So he might just have to go to him. And you just wonder, I think the manager must look at this guy like most Rangers supporters and think, your pedigree is very, very good, right? You cannot be as bad as what you're shown. He's offered nothing, absolutely nothing. I know he's had a couple of assists, but for a guy his quality and everything.
Scott Olsen, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Aye. He came with a big reputation,
everything about it. It doesn't mean he's a bad player. He's just not fit it in. Well, I don't know why, because you think it would suit him, especially dominating games at home. The wingers get the ball, plenty of the ball into it. Sterling and Tavernier supporting you. He's just not hit the heights. And that's why I think that Asgard will probably go and maybe play in that sort of an in-out right-hand side position. And Moore will play off the left with one up top.
How big's this one this weekend, Andy? Falkirk is not a nice place to go in terms of having confidence of a win. They've done so well this season.
No, it's massive. Honestly, everybody, I think every heart Celtic Rangers fan, we need one in the next six games. This is a massive game for us. But we can. The thing that's annoying me with Rangers now, we can play really well for like 45, 50 minutes and then we seem to take our foot off the gas. And we don't play well because some of the football we've played recently has been really good and then parts of it have been really, really bad, especially back in defence. I know we're missing settles, but back in defence, I mean, Aberdeen game, two goals we lost, that was pretty poor.
Yeah. All right, thanks very much to Andy on the line. Andy was in Finnissing there giving us a call. It's a brilliant teaser, this. Are you happy with the golf at the moment? Rory's ticking along nicely.
He is four under.
Well, speaking of him, he featured kind of in this question. Well, more than kind of, because it's a brilliantly constructed question by Taylor and Belsell. Since 2010, golfers from seven different countries have won the Masters. Can you name the top appearance maker in the Scottish top flight from each of those countries? So last year, it was won by Rory McIlroy. He's from Northern Ireland. Your Northern Irish answer is Stephen Cragan. Scotty Scheffler and various others have won it from the United States. Your United States answer is Cameron Carter-Vickers. Mm-hmm. What else have you got?
Japan, Maeda.
Which Japanese golfer won it?
Matsuyama.
You don't even need to give me that part of it. But
remember when his caddy put his flag in and bowed to the course.
Do you like that?
Beautiful. That's what I do so every week.
Which of Celtic's Japanese players has got the most appearances?
Maeda?
Yes. Any other nationalities?
Yeah, the Spanish one. Is it? Novo.
It is Nacho Novo.
John Ram was the last one.
John Ram. Sergio Garcia had a couple.
Yeah.
Good. All right, we'll get back to it. We'll do the rest when we return. But before we go any further, something else I need to mark your card about. And it is I thought we were going to do the music quiz tonight, but I'll need to tell you about that another time, Gordon Dale, because it's up your street. It's the charity football match, which is really important. I want as many of you to get along to this as possible. Shooting Stars, all in aid of Alzheimer's Scotland. You're bound to be playing in this, Simon Donnelly.
I'm meant to be,
yeah. No one plays in more charity football matches than you. That's my theory. So it's taking place at Broadwood Stadium, yes?
Yes.
12th of April. How's the fitness?
Not too bad.
So you're in the Scotland team, obviously, against the rest of the world. Yep. So James McFadden, Lee McCulloch, yourself, Sanjeev Kohli, Matt Costello from Still Game, taking on Nacho Novo, who we just mentioned, Jim Goodwin, Marvin Bartley. Listen,
I'm staying away from him.
See if he's as
staying
angry.
Staying away from him.
If he's as angry as he was in the tunnel after the game at the
all
weekend,
the Masters.
You're in bother.
Aye, staying away from him.
Tickets are £10 each. Under 18s go free, all for a good cause. So alzscott.org/stars. That's alzscott.org/stars.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can still give us a call, plenty of time. Send us a message, get in touch. We've got lots to get through, as always. But let me give you your teaser again quickly. I've had a complaint in from Derek, who's not a golf fan. It's just the questions wasted on him. But I think tough for one weekend of the year. You just need.
I was about to ask, did this come in before, or was it after we started talking about it?
I think it must have come in today. So it's Taylor in Belsill, who says, since 2010 golfers from seven different countries have won the Masters. Can you name the top appearance maker in Scottish football's top flight for each of those nationalities? See, if you're not a golfer, I would have eventually just given you the nationalities anyway, but you guys are working your way through it. So Northern Ireland for Rory McIlroy, you've gone Stephen Craigan. United States, Cameron Carter-Vickers. There's been a couple of Spanish winners, Nacho Novo. There's been a Japanese winner, Daisen Maeda. This makes it sound like I'm saying Daisen Maeda won the Masters, but you know what I mean.
So you Australian get
speed golf.
Right. You think there's been an Australian winner?
Yes, Adam Scott.
Okay.
So we're going Devlin or McDonald.
We need to pick one that defeats the purpose.
Scott McDonald.
Scott McDonald, yes. Motherwell and Celtic.
Right, English, James Tavernier.
Who's English winner?
Willett. Danny Willett.
Oh, good, well done. Right, James Tavernier. Leave it there, you've only got one more to get. We'll try and get it before the end of the show. Let's go Tony, who's on. Hi, Tony.
Hi, guys, how are you?
Good,
are
you?
Hi, Tony. That's the best I've got. Who are you?
Do you know Gordon Dale? It just sounded like you did there.
My mum does. He used to go into my mum's work all the time.
I'm worried. No, where does your mum work?
Arnold Clark.
Oh, I remember this from a few years ago. You used to get
Tony.
You used to get to Arnold Clark.
The relief. He was wondering where Tony was going.
Exactly.
You used to get to Arnold Clark for the free coffee.
For the coffee, yes. How are you, Tony? All right. How's your mum and the family and everybody?
I'm fine.
Still making coffees in Arnold Clark? Good. Right, what are you thinking tonight, Tony?
Obviously, I was listening to you earlier and you were talking about Scott Wilson, how he's obviously not keeping them on. For me, obviously, Rangers have been trying to get him for years. He's not played for. He didn't. Before he came to Rangers, he hadn't played football in what was it, nearly a year?
No,
give or take.
I know he's had like ups and no, but he played for October 25. Yeah, to be fair, it was a couple of months. He did play for Wolfsburg in November, and Rangers signed him January. So,
but
not
November.
Loads. He didn't have that many appearances this season. But what are you getting at? You think he's not? You could still get the best out of him.
100%. It's only. What, 9.5 million? Yes, obviously it's a lot of money for a Scottish club, but obviously we've got players that are getting on a bit, like Tavernier. Tavernier's what, maybe got a season left in him, maybe two. Bring Scott Wilson in, because obviously Scott Wilson's always tracking back as well. So bring him in permanently. 9.5 million, yes, it's a lot, but it's, for him, not really, because I think, personally, I think he could be the best player in the Scottish League next season, if we keep him.
The thing is, do you not need something? Do you not need to have seen something? Because, look, I don't mind a forecast, and I get that Tony's talking about his history. I couldn't say you're definitely wrong, he won't be good next season. I wouldn't know, and Danny Rowe might see something. But if your deal is structured that way, if you go loan, obligation to buy, big fee, you need the loan bit to
Evidence, I think the Rangers fans would slaughter the board if they paid that money. And you're not just, I know what Tony's saying, but you're not just talking about the transfer fee. This guy will be on big,
well, if you're a £9 million player, you're wanting 40 grand a week, ballpark.
Yeah, 30 he'll be wanting 2-3 year contract, and Rangers would need to give that out for paying the amount of money.
More than a two, you'd have thought.
I don't see any evidence, or right now, I don't see any chance Rangers will be going down that road.
Slightly similar. Don't come at me with the inaccuracy of the comparison. I'm not saying it's the exact same. Adam Ida, Simon, is there scope for Scott Olsen? And no, he can't score in the Scottish Cup final because Rangers aren't in it. But you know what I mean. Scott Olsen lights up the Hearts and Celtic game. It's a late flourish. It inspires Rangers to a title win, and all of a sudden,
maybe
the first 10 games or whatever are forgotten about. Is that possible?
Yeah, it's possible, but like 9.5 million. Obviously, you're talking. You mentioned Adam Ida. I remember him scoring important goals at Hibs and for Park and that thing, in that running. Scott Olsen for me at 9.5 would have to be in that team. Showing stuff at the moment, creating. You know, he came with a big reputation, hasn't done much at all, has been overlooked, you know, so that possibly is the beauty of a loan for the club, because they've had a look and they might have second thoughts. But listen, he's still got 6 games to go. I think it's unlikely that he comes in and shines.
I mean, Tony, you don't need to have seen more. Is this not the complete point of a loan with an obligation to buy? Is it can work in your favour? You get a look, you try before you buy, sort of thing. At the moment, would you not just be doing it on this random hope that he might, you know, he might be good next season?
Obviously, well, from where I'm seeing it, obviously he's, there is some flourish he's got that he's fantastic, like where he's crossing and that, but all we really need for him is to start getting goals.
Gordon, you know, like he needs more than that. I mean, I think what we sometimes do as well, I think it can work both ways. Sometimes, you know, we talk about holding a price tag against a player and having high expectations. I actually think eventually what you start doing as well is you look for wee signs and you maybe make more of them. Then, listen, he's put a couple of nice balls into the box. £9 million.
No, you're not. Listen, everybody's got their favourites in football. Everybody's got a sense of, oh, he's a good player, and we can all argue about it. He's offered nothing since he came in. You come in and loan to impress, you come in and loan to show what you're all about, you're worth that price tag, you're worth those wages. There's, apart from Tony, I don't know a lot of Rangers fans out there who would be screaming for Rangers to go and sign this guy.
Any chance he can turn it around from here, though? Because as we said, some big games left.
Oh, massive games.
Recency bias, all that stuff.
Look,
big moments.
We sat here and we listened to fans come on continuously having a go at Chermiti and the price tag. All of a sudden, he bangs a couple in against Celtic. He scores against Hearts. Is it Hearts he scored against Hearts?
Yep.
And then Rangers fans were going, this guy's a hero. Football, you can always turn it around in football. But I've got to say, it would need a big turnaround.
It's not showing any signs, but as you said, with the 6 games left, if he came in and starred, it's doing him 100% favours, but he just hasn't showed any sign of that till now.
Yeah, I don't even think he'll start at the weekend against Falkirk. So if you're not starting against Falkirk, which, okay, I could be proven wrong here, but he got hooked last week, didn't he? The Rangers fans were criticising him. I heard one or two of the pundits guys having a go at him as well. It'll be interesting getting away at a difficult game against Falkirk at the weekend. Would the manager trust him again? Be interested to see if he gets in the team, but not
thank
for
you
me.
For getting in touch, Tony. We are almost out of time. Let's finish the teaser. Since 2010, golfers from 7 different countries have won the Masters. Can you name the top appearance maker in Scottish football top flight for each of those countries? Last year's winner was Northern Irish, Rory McIlroy, Stephen Craigan. We've had American winners, which equals Cameron Carter-Vickers. Spanish winners, leads Nacho Novo. A Japanese winner gives us Daisen Maeda. English winner gives us James Tavernier. There's been an Australian. So you gave me Scott McDonald. What other? What are you looking for now?
Well, I've named it one more.
We've actually we've actually worked as a team.
Quite Canadian.
You think
Mikey
Weir? Not too far back.
Oh, I was.
No,
too far back.
Mm-hmm. I'll just need to give you the country you're looking for. Go. South Africa.
Oh, we had
South African.
No, we didn't get the player.
Wait, I told you the South African who won it.
Schwartzel, but we didn't get the footballer.
Oh, we didn't get the footballer. Sorry, don't know the South African footballer.
It's the hardest one by a mile.
Who did he play with?
He's most of his appearances for Livy.
South African it played with Libby.
Keegan Jacobs. Thank you for your calls. Friday night's Super Scoreboard is next up, 6 o'clock tomorrow, and we'll see you then.